Greetings, hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited. And clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions. But you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you.
Okay, this is the third lesson with Ted Green, February 24th, 8 o'clock. The subject we'll probably cover most likely would be diminished sounds, which I've been working on throughout the week, okay, or the month. Excuse me, bye-bye.
Some guitars love 14s, some love 12s.
Really? Yes.
They all like 10s if you want to talk light. 10s, 9s, and 8s.
I can't play 10s anymore.
I can't really either. I feel like I'm going to push them out of tune all the time.
I had 11s on this, and I didn't like it. I couldn't play it anymore.
Let's plug this thing in.
Oh, there.
There's a blue cord sitting right on the reverb here. There we go. Let's just do this, baby. And I just put the volume on the amp on, and it'll be in biz.
What do you got? 3, 2?
This is a lacquered board. It's not the it's not the polyurethane, right?
I don't know. It's a it's not a one piece,
I understand,
right?
Yeah. This looks like lacquer. I don't think this is the thick polyurethane. That's why it's so expensive.
Yes, because my 71 has a thick. Taru was talking about that possibly. Is that right?
Yes, and those are worth a lot less. I think those come down maybe $500 less or something.
My other one's modified too, so. I did a little nut work. I'm real sort of careful. I didn't do it too much, as you can tell. You know, that was slight.
Caesar's got a break for this, or you do. The truss rod's real, real
right
nice.
On, yeah.
Love it. Yeah, this could come down quite a bit on certain strings.
On G string especially, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This through that probe, I mean, I don't quite have that.
Pro reverb?
Yeah, pro reverb. 212s, a 65, I took it to Crothers. And by the way, Crothers was really nice to me this time. I just wanted it straight.
And what happened last time they didn't treat you right?
Yeah, they're good with some guitar work. One of the guys that he worked with, I was pissed.
But he himself was
super. I had to swap out a reverb pan.
The really
reverb
wasn't pan. Working?
It was vibrating too much. I was, you know, because I turned the tone all the way off, bass up to about 8, and it gets that big, rich sound.
So a new pan did the trick, huh?
Yeah.
What does a pan cost these days?
$65.
Uh-huh. This volume comes on a lot at the end. Have you noticed?
I know. Just a touch, and there's a difference. Is that like not
Let's
normal?
Let's put it higher on the amplifier.
Well,
yeah.
I've been playing a lot with that, backing it up just slightly. I noticed that.
I see what it is.
What's that?
I see.
I noticed that backing the volume off a little bit. The tone didn't drop either. It went up.
Here's what happens. Mm-hmm. Your highs remain. They've got a way to short out the other frequency, so it's an illusion. It's not just that the highs remain, but you're actually, what it's really doing is cutting everything else out.
Right, okay.
So that's why you don't get, you know, when you're down here, all your bass content, your deep bass is gone from. So if you'd like this to have more bass all the way, it won't cost you. Do you use a soldering gun?
I'm going to buy one.
Okay. Get one of those soldering pencils. The guns are too torquey. They need demagnet pickups or something.
Mm-hmm.
for about $10, you could make this thing right. You don't have to spend a lot of money.
Perfect.
If you give it to repair guys, it's going to cost $50
right,
this time.
Right.
You open it up, you're going to find a little volume control in here,
mm-hmm,
potentiometer.
Mm-hmm.
You want to remove that potentiometer. Well, let's verify it. I don't want you to.
Sure.
It'll only take a moment. I just want to make sure. You're going to have a little tiny extra capacitor on here if my money
right
is in the right place. If my heart's in the right, my heart says that I hear something that reminds me that there. This is one of those ones that has that circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have it, some of them don't. And there's usually an extra capacitor on the volume control. Yeah, there it is.
So that guy
usually,
right there?
Usually, it, thank God there are ways around this, but it would be nice if you could just cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
But usually what that will do is not very pleasant. Move back just one second. I've got to get way over here. See something. Okay, there's no marking like that. Oh yes. So. Ah, there it is. So that's here. Those fuckers, boy.
What's that?
I don't know why they thought this was the answer. They didn't think it through too carefully. Okay, what you want to do is buy. This is one meg. Meg in electronics means million.
Right, okay.
This is a million ohms.
Mm-hmm.
250K, how much would you think that would be?
That's times 10, 24.
Now, K, if somebody says they scored at Les Paul for 3K.
1,000.
Yes. So 250K is quarter of a million, 250,000.
Right. Right.
That's what you want. Right now you have a million on there. It says one meg. It's hard to see it, but it's there. You want 250K
pop.
It could be linear or audio taper. Don't be fussy. Be thrilled if you find one at your first. I mean, call around. See who carries a used. You can even get a used one, you know.
Used or new, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter because you'll save money if it's used as long as it's
there's no vintage or cool sounding or better sounding.
No, it's just they die out. The old ones are usually worse because they're half gone already from wear. Some vintage things are not good, you know, like peanut butter left out in the sun. It's not good. Vintage peanut butter, jar 48, full. Original ants and grasshoppers.
No.
Sounds delightful.
No. That's all right, man. You were talking about the volume pot.
Just the volume pot. Pot is short for potentiometer.
Right. I have bought all the repair guides and made a couple of repair guides.
Terrific. Now, there's a chance in doing that you're going to break this wire.
Possibly.
And this. They're too short, Mark. So my recommendation is buy some other wire so you don't have... I don't know how you can even lean
this
over.
This, right?
Yes. It's hard to even get this over because it's so damn short. They made it too short, really, to work on it. It feels like it's going to break off any second. And I don't want it to. So we're going to
leave
it alone.
Yeah, that's cool.
When you replace that, put all the wires back just where you found them.
Right.
Except that little
cap.
Little tiny cap. Just save it. Throw it in a drawer somewhere because you're going to cut it out of the circuit.
Cap on
and what you'll get is the same sound full up.
Right.
And when you turn it down, it'll act like the way you've experienced many other guitars. Just a gradual loss of highs and volume.
Cool.
Instead of only keeping highs and losing all that bass and rich
sound.
If you were only a funk player, that could work for you. You know, that nice tinny sound.
Not this guitar.
You would just have that total, that's all it has is just not an ounce of bass left in there.
That's not mine, that's not what I'm doing.
It's amazing the difference compared to
that.
That's the same pickup. It's incredible. For a bass pickup, there's just no bass left.
Exactly. Right.
Do that.
I love, but I'm really in love with the sound through the Pro. I'm just like.
Pro is a good amp.
I've just gone.
You saw my black face back there?
Yeah. I took it down to Crothers and he replaced the power tube. He said he had three offers while the amp was down there. Yeah.
Everybody likes the old Fender amps. They sound sweet. But some of their new amps are probably going to sound sweet. So mm-hmm. They already do. This is a nice guitar.
I love it. I'm in love.
Feels great. Looks bitchin' too.
I dropped the action a little bit.
Pretty grainy.
And again, I just felt like I arrived. You know, I finally got the Pro Fix, and I got this, and I've been working. I went through a big thing before I met you, whether I should buy rack gear or not. I didn't, thank God. And I just really feel like I'm there. You know, I don't. I still with the Pro. Like I've been listening to some of your sounds on tape. You had like a Vibroverb, I think, last time, and it was a little softer in your highs.
Brown one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Brown amp, I had to return it finally. Just, it breaks up too soon for club volume. I wanted it for clubs, and it just won't do it. I've got plenty of little amps for quiet.
Uh-huh.
I needed it to do that. It just won't take those deep bass notes and stuff.
The Pro could somewhat handle it.
Pro I've used live. It'll come up louder than that other one with 210s.
Mm-hmm.
Beefier amp. Distinct, in fact, much beefier transformer when you lift the two. Bass on this thing in the middle of the string.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, my neighbor's not home. I don't think he is. I haven't heard him. But that's ridiculous.
What do you mean?
That's so good. Yeah. So good. So deep. Striking it right at the halfway point. And again, here's that other thing where this is the same guitar. It doesn't even... I don't know. It's like, how can that be the same guitar?
Right.
It's not just a loss of volume.
So it's not uncommon to pay $1,000 for a good instrument nowadays, a good tally nowadays.
I'm afraid it's become the norm.
Norm.
No pun intended.
there, dude.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I never dreamed that I'd get this bad, man. Although I got to tell you, Squire tallies.
You told me last time that's
and the that's thing. Caesar's favorite tally. That's the one he's keeping. It's only a $200 guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did this partially because he's got a new baby.
Right, he's getting an arch top or something.
Well, he did that too. I mean, he just can't resist buying new guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, he's been selling all his guitars, except for his fairy favorites.
Mm-hmm.
He did a very fine job of picking this one. That's a good one.
I love it, and he's a great guy, and I thank him. So.
Yeah, I like him. He's a good man.
Okay, great. And I'm stoked sound-wise, and you said string-wise, it all depends. You're just... You like playing G's? You still?
I'm a plain third guy. I've tried the wound third, but it's very difficult for me to love them as much.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't do it as much for me. How about yourself?
Me too. I tried flat wounds. I didn't dig them. I tried the wound G's. Never liked them, and so I settled on this set for this guitar. I tried 13s, and
it was too thick, huh?
Too hard on my hands. No vibrato feeling.
Yeah, you can't get vibrato when you have low frets and a lot of tension. Those strings have, that body has a lot of tension in it, particular piece of ash or whatever it's made of. I don't know why, but it sure does. You can feel it. So you've been in a practice mode, right?
I'm into it, yeah. I'm totally into it. Pardon me?
I like it. I mean, I'm glad for you.
Oh, I'm grateful I'm here. You know, I love it. I have lots of questions.
Well, let's go right to it, man.
And the diminished sounds, like, I totally got off on that exercise, which we talked basically about...
Three main functions, right?
Right, of diminished.
So you resolved them on every fret?
On every fret, and different densities. Started working with, took that one sheet of yours... That dealt with
the diminished seven color?
Seventh, yeah, and started working with that. And some of it, their extensions. Is that an extension now? The seventh, the ninth?
The major seven, yeah.
The ninth would be the 11th.
And the flat 13, six. Yeah, flat 6,
Okay.
Those are extensions.
Started employing them in some tunes, which I dug. I got some questions.
Okay.
But diminished sounds, wow, yeah, I just. They love to sleep with lots of different sounds, don't they?
Yeah.
They're loose chords.
They're loose, man.
Resolutions to relative minor major, no problem. Is that correct?
Resolutions to relative minor.
Okay.
Say that again. Phrase it a different way so I know that you understand.
Well, the 5-1, the 1-1, right, and the 5-2.
That's right.
They could resolve, those diminished dominants could resolve to the home chords relative major, minor? I don't know how, if I could word it properly.
You mean as a second resolution?
Yes.
Show me.
Okay, well, like, let's say...
Show me the basic and then the alternative
you're suggesting.
Well, okay,
we'll go in C.
Minor,
right, exactly.
Yeah, five, yes, indeed.
Or to the four, or you could
yes,
call this.
Yes, yeah, it does.
Or can you call it that, or would this be like a
it
seven?
It is, but it's secondary importance.
Okay.
For reasons that are hard for me to explain tonight without being long-winded, but I'll try
right.
the very quick version, which is that usually the five of four is going to be involved with other specific alterations than just a flat nine.
Okay.
It sounds magnificent with flat nine and one extra note, like sharp five.
So we're talking now chord substitution on different degrees of the...
Not chord substitution,
I mean,
chord enrichment. Different
right,
kinds of enrichments
right.
you can bring in. Flat
just,
nines and sharp fives. And
just like I notice sharp 11s, I on fives just don't make it. It
not as much,
like.
Yeah, they're a little tougher.
Okay, I want to stay. Okay, so with the diminish. Okay, so some questions, but here in that is we say the five. Is that a really a diminished sound? I mean, it is, but
which
you know,
one? The 5-7 flat nine.
Right. If you write out a one diminished going to one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say in the key of A, we have A E flat G flat C. Okay, going to A, E, A, C sharp, and four part.
Okay.
Now that's a true one diminished going to a one.
Mm-hmm.
But the 5-1 resolution, it's not a 5 diminished.
No, no, it's not. No, it's 5-7.
Flat 9.
That's correct.
But it's not a... See, because, I mean, I'm just having a trouble with... I shouldn't think of it as a 5... A diminished chord on the fifth.
Oh, no. It's a dominant chord on the fifth.
Right.
There is a diminished chord on the fifth.
But and the five would be like E, G, B flat, D. Or D flat.
Yes.
Okay.
And that resolves towards the five chord. When you hear this old progression. From way back, turn of the century.
Right.
That's one. Five diminished seven, the A diminished seven to A dominant seven.
Okay.
It's the 5 of 2 going somewhere else. 5 of 2, as you said, can sleep with other ladies.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have to go to E minor for an D.
Okay. So
you can act like a diminished chord. Put it another way, every one of these has the potential to act as four dominant seven flat nines. And four diminished sevenths.
Okay.
Yet only some of them are common, and only some are real common. The three
mm-hmm.
real common ones are the ones we
talked about. And I could feel it. You know, I could feel it pull, and I could hear it.
You'd say, I've heard that, Beethoven symphonies.
Yeah, and it just felt great.
Are you at the level where if I say key of whatever key you chose to play in, say D, where you could do this for me?
Yeah, let's say D. D right here. Okay, so B. Oh, I mean, what
every fret?
Well, every fret, let's try it. But what I was doing was doing like 5-1, like going like...
Chaining one at a time?
One at a time.
That's a great exercise.
I dug
used to
it.
Do it that way. That was my way for years, was to chain them.
Right, and just go diminish, you know, 5.
So let me see
five.
You chain the one diminished, because those aren't as chainy.
I know, I found that out.
It's only the 5-1s that chain out.
You see, I could go, I don't know whether I want, this is where I had
just
problems.
Just choose, make
okay.
a choice, according to your own preference. Wait a second now. Did your bass note do what you really wanted to do there on the second resolution?
Probably not.
What's your bass want to do? What would you like to do that bass to? Yeah, so let's make that sucker go down.
Like,
wow,
that.
Voicing it now. With voice leading.
Minimum movement, or
these two tones want to do what?
Up.
That's right. This wants to stay.
Mm-hmm.
You said down. So
right.
I go.
pulled out an old sheet of you that you had of voice note and read it maybe three times, not a whole bunch. I noticed, that's great, with the ones, but a strong pull towards a dominant seven.
Towards the five chord, you mean?
Well, no, towards the dominant 7-1.
Oh, towards the 1-7.
Like
seven.
A half step, yeah, that very bluesy, and I worked a lot of stuff on tunes. I love it.
Oh, great, great. That's a very fine resolution.
Yeah, I'm so do you want me to continue, or do you,
no,
you
I
get
trust
a picture,
you
get a picture of what's going on?
I'm just going to have to trust that you're going to stay with it until you're super friendly with those sounds.
I want to. Yeah, it was great, and then, let me, should I just continue? I'm going to continue.
Right.
With the resolutions, should I really work a lot and pay attention to, this, like you said, I didn't spend a whole bunch of time on traditional resolutions. A lot was resolving, like I said, in inversions, going down, you know, in sequence, like with inversions, adding extension tones, like sevenths.
I'm satisfied if you're satisfied, meaning you try different sounds. If the traditional ones please you,
they do. They do. It's just that, would you feel that you get a better, strong basis for further growth? Growth, if you work with those.
Yeah, it's true. Yet you don't need them. Wes Montgomery didn't have those, so it's not mandatory. You can do the 20th century thing instead if that's where your heart is. You won't get a poison letter from Indianapolis, Wes's widow. You know, classical.
Oh, diminished sounds and functions apply the single lines too, I'd imagine.
Of course. Single lines are just chords broken up.
Pass, you know, with diminished sounds, just passing, sort of passing sounds, etc. We talked about extensions of diminished briefly, but the 7th, 9th, 11th, and...
Yeah, they're discussed on that page a little bit.
Okay.
On that and learning to hear diminished sevenths.
Right. And what do you think continued applications and studies in this area? Which?
Yeah, let's see.
Like tunes, pick tunes?
No, secondary resolutions. You started on it already yourself. Tunes, you'll be gradually bringing this to the fore. Every tune you do is going to have opening for some of this.
I'm doing it,
So it's automatically going to be integrated. Don't need to make a study out of that. But secondary resolutions, like if I say which diminished chord will resolve to the four as a one diminished of itself, of the four, which one of the three other old functions was that, is that going to be?
Resolve to the four?
Yes.
That would be the...
as a diminished sound on the four. Just like we have our one diminished. So one diminished of the four.
Like, okay, in the key of C, we'd talk about F diminished.
So which one is that normally in the key C? Which of the three functions
this would be?
Did we ascribe to this? So 5, 5, or 2, five. Or 1 diminished? It is. So the 5 chord, instead of just resolving 1, and you notice it will also go as 5 of the relative minor.
Right.
It also can act as a diminished chord on the 4.
Okay. And treat okay, like gotcha.
Instead of going back to there, sounds like that approaching the four. Can you feel that?
Yeah, I can feel it, but I can't think it right now.
G7 flat 9
right.
is also
4 diminished.
Say the letter name, please.
G7 flat 9 would be F diminished.
That's correct. It's a full F diminished seventh chord.
Right.
And it can resolve to F major or F7, depending.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's got three resolutions so far, to C or C7, A minor, A something, and then F stuff as a diminished.
I almost got to write this out, you know.
Well, if it gets past there, you'll probably begin. But so far, try and keep that in your head. You walked in the door with two of those, the C and the A minor.
Right.
You said it to me about the A minor.
Right.
That's what we're calling secondary resolution, or secondary importance.
I see.
Second level or second tier.
Right, exactly.
First tier is up here, the main function.
So here you're having it function the four of the key as like a one diminished.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Right, and as a one diminished, then that means it could resolve to itself.
So every time you hear a five, and you think you could hear a flat nine, you could
right.
You could go for that gospel sound.
Right. You're in
the mood for that sound. It just depends on how you feel at the moment. If you're hearing this two, five, like a 3-6-2-5. Mm-hmm.
Just as like a passing or an approach chord, or how would you call that? Would you?
It is an approach chord. It mm-hmm. is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So somebody says.
I was already doing that. Actually, I didn't. but like, just take it. What tune was that?
Well, I started out with Ain't Miss Baden, but I switched gears in a minute.
Like in a blues, if you went like.
You gotta establish a key for it for both our ears so I can hear that.
I can see.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You know that. Something
so
like
you
that.
Did
just
do
a
it
real
right.
basic.
Guitar sounds real cool, man.
I dig it.
It really has a nice, sparkly, bright, but deep sound.
I dig it. Okay, so that would be there. Should I just mentally.
So what about. I mean, yeah, it's just good to try some of that at home. It's mm-hmm. like future study. You take a different string set every day or a different key. See mm-hmm. if you find any sounds you like, that you really like, you know? Using that sound.
Right. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Now, wait a second. Mm-hmm. The 5 of 2, what else is that going to be?
Okay, 5 of 2 would be... One, what do you mean? Okay, five, with the one, five, two. Let's think, Mark. We thought about relationships here. In terms of what it will
be. What else can 5 of 2 be? That makes sense. Okay.
Last.
If we're in the key of C, the 5 of 2
is A.
Yeah, A7 flat 9 in this case, because mm-hmm. of the kind of chords we're doing. Is that possible to be a diminished of any primal thing in the key?
Let's see. Yeah, I believe so. If I could think about it here. A7 flat 9. Three. Would it be E diminished?
What else is more primal than the 3 in the key?
G.
That's right. It's like a 5 diminished.
Okay.
So you're on the 1.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to go to a 5. So
right.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just a 5 diminished sound.
Okay. Okay. Right. Okay, I understand that. I believe I understand it. Meaning, we're just taking. Let's see.
We're treating it a different function.
Right.
Instead of saying this chord's always the 5 of 2, we're just saying,
mm-hmm.
what about when it's a 5 diminished 7 and everybody in the audience goes, no, it ain't no. We say, yes, it is. Look, man, it's just close to the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for bluesy, turn-of-the-century stuff.
Like, you know, Careless Love?
Uh-huh.
That's a great... I bought a W.C. Handy. Da-da-da. Right.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's great. Uh-huh.
I mean,
right.
There's a whole bunch of...
Tons of
there's
them.
A 4 diminished to 4
mm-hmm.
there. Could have been... To be fair, this would be 1 diminished to 1 diminished 7. 7,
right.
4 diminished 7 with 4.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
1 diminished again.
Mm-hmm. 2, 5, right. So I should take basically those. Okay, so we let's say now here they have more functions than that. The six. Then we're saying the six.
Every one of the chords that we covered last time, the three main chords,
right,
has at least one or two other normal ways it can go, but they're just not as common as
right.
the ones we did last time.
Right.
Then they all have a superabundance of abnormal ones
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, like you're Franz Schubert and you're writing a
right.
symphony, and you hit the five chord in the key of C, and
mm-hmm.
you say, wow, I'm going to go to A flat minor,
because mm-hmm.
there's an A flat note in the G7
right.
flat 9.
Right.
And then you say, what keys does A flat minor belong to?
Uh-huh.
Suddenly you realize, well, if you call it G sharp minor, you're in E or in B.
Right.
So they could be in C,
mm-hmm.
G7.
Use it as like a pivot chord or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Sort of modulatory
yeah.
chord, is it called?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You hear them, dude.
Sure, they go forever. And they wander,
yes.
you know, into every key.
Yeah. Dude.
Okay.
Is that clear for you, at least, that the options are there?
Yes.
Primal level, secondary level, where you want just sensible stuff.
Right.
Not too far, like it's got to modulate to be working. And then the third level is use all that, not right away, maybe
mm-hmm.
in a few more months,
right.
all the modulation stuff, too, just so you can be a tertian harmony guy.
Yeah.
Its full capacity, if you wish to. I mean,
mm-hmm.
your classical roots aren't as strong right now as your jazz roots in terms of your...
I still love it. I, you know, I think it's important.
About, right?
Yeah, and I like the combination of both.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, there's, you know, when you're playing and you get some bitching sounds and then you come through a clarity of, you know, just a major or minor set. It gives you a lot of clarity. It's very nice. I've noticed, and I found maybe some problems, and that's probably just my own thinking, and I wanted to make lines, a lot longer lines, and I end up having just, you know, simple resolutions.
Single lines?
No.
Chords?
Chords, yeah, chord lines, and I ended up having, I would work and try and work with... progression or
that's not a problem, that's good
mm-hmm.
unless you're frustrated and can't find
it. I couldn't really find it, or you know what I mean, I did do like 1-1 diminished 2-5 like that, and maybe it was just limiting
when you said 1-1 diminished
mm-hmm.
2-5 you could chain that together four times on one string set
mm-hmm.
did you
I just,
try that?
No I didn't, that's what
let's try it, start with
okay.
C6
like up here?
Yeah, now C diminished 7.
C diminished 7 would be...
No, don't go up. It's right there. You're holding the C note. Now the D minor 7. What's
or
that?
Up here.
Now play that. I don't know if you played C diminished 7. Something tells me.
Let me see. Probably not.
Let's go back to the C6, please.
Let's
okay,
see. Would that
now.
Be up here?
I think you did have it right. It's my ear that failed me. Oh no, you're show me the C. If we say C diminished 7, shouldn't there be a C note in there, Mark?
Yeah, there should be.
What made you choose that chord?
Because that was a 5-1. I was used to practicing this.
You're allowed to practice that
too.
I know. Want you to. But you're also
yes.
allowed to think about the 1 diminished.
Right, and so that would be, this would be 1.
So let's do 1 major, 1 diminished, 2 minor. Yeah, let's do it for fun, for
mm-hmm.
profit, for your ears.
Okay.
Make the minor 7 have a flat 5, just for kids.
A minor 7 flat 5? Right there.
Testing me, see if I remember. And now on your 5, I want you to make it have the raised root and fifth on the dominant.
Okay, wait, on the
show me the basic
up.
5 chord coming up.
Right
okay, don't play it. Don't sound it.
Right.
Now raise the root and the fifth. 1 fret.
The root and the fifth would be... root and the fifth. Is that this?
That's it. Let's play the whole progression.
Okay. Here we go.
That's pretty far out, man. Mm-hmm. Is it too weird for you?
No, it's not. No, it's not. I just have to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I'll use melody. I'll right. Tell that. I think on the five, we'll even allow you to go parallel.
Okay.
Or change the melody.
Uh-huh.
So the next one would be...
Right on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the G7 with the raised right. Root. When you right. Raise the root and fifth in a dominant seventh chord, what happens?
You raise
besides
the root.
Panic and anger and fear.
No. Sounds good. You're doing a flat flat nine sharp five, right?
My man, yeah. your brain's working.
That's
good,
I'm pulling the dusters out. You know?
I love it. You got a lot of good information stored in there.
I have to shake it loose and learn how to talk and think and get back to.
You're doing just that. You're doing that very, very thing right now, which is real good. Because I thought we'd have to discuss that, and it's right. You just remember, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On the five, find any five that you prefer. To, like at this moment, after the bass one.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to hear it drop down.
Mm-hmm.
I can even live with.
Okay, you're at the five. You're in B5.
One. Let's do it together. Then I know we can't have a miss out.
Yeah.
So the name of this chord is.
This is B-flat major 6.
Watch out now.
Excuse me, C major 6.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, one diminished. Two minor 7, but put the flat 5 in there. That's great. Okay, lower the chord down to G7 and substitute E for D.
Substitute E.
It's a stretch.
E, substitute E, which is what, up here?
Right. G13 without a 9.
Uh-huh.
Right?
That's a cool sound.
So you went. Remember, we can add melody right around
right.
Above or inside the chord. So these could be made, you know, fun for you.
Sure, sure.
So it's not so boring. And you do get to integrate the progression.
Right, right. That's what I'd like to do. That's what I want to do. And, again, to try and integrate it into my daily, my playing style. You know what I mean?
Here's a pretty one. One. Diminished. Two flat five. While it's still ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Just
get some movement down.
Right. This is better.
Gotcha. So we're going one diminished, two, 7 flat 5, to a 5.
Yeah, two minor 7 flat 5.
Right.
Minor yeah,
seven
two dominant 7 flat 5s, a real pungent little beast. Nice pungency, not bad.
Mm-hmm. No, minor, yes.
So like this is C. When they get weird on you, you know, 7 flat 5s are real pungent.
I can't hear them that mean.
She's beautiful, but hasn't bathed for 4 days.
Yeah.
Pretty pungent down there.
Right on.
I mean, it's that kind of stuff. It's spice, man. This is really, that flat 5 is weird compared to normal. That D7 or D minor 7, when you play a dominant 7 flat 5,
it sticks out.
Really does.
Yeah.
Right? In any voicing of it. Creepy, but a nice creepy. It's not like bad.
Right.
String typewriter.
Right. Okay.
There's probably some guy right now writing music like this on guitars. One of the, you know, about a decade ago, guys started doing more of this, and some guys actually do set it in their lap and play this one.
Really?
It's fun.
It's fun.
I used to do it just to come up. If somebody would say, play outside, and I couldn't hear any kind of Coltrane line,
right.
I might have told you about this. You just take a zone, Uh-huh. It's computer outside, so to speak. It's like a computer with no sense about music. Right,
random number generator.
Yeah, it's like a number generator.
Right.
It's not music. Right?
Not. I don't think that's music, I think, but if that was combined with certain other things, it could be.
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, I think
of
that...
I don't dislike this. This doesn't offend me.
No, I know. But I think of that as like one sound.
You know what it is? It's not so... I mean, this isn't music for most of us. This is an effect for motion pictures or something that conveys a sense of unpleasantness.
Right.
You know, nobody's got the strings we want in any store, man. It's like,
yeah.
It's just a sour note.
If that sound was that feeling around the world, it'd be a beautiful place to live.
What? Say that again now.
I said if whenever time I heard that sound, if it was only I couldn't find my strings, instead of a rapist around the corner, then it would.
That's
be,
true. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then that sound would turn into
right
or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
New day is dawning.
Right. Right. Exactly.
They've got four sets of my strings. I just got to drive right down the street. They said I could walk.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's a trip. That is such a trip. So that's one thing you could be doing is thinking about being creative in ways that, I mean, I didn't know if the minor 7 flat 5 would sound good when I first tried it instead of the regular 2 minor. 2 minor, frankly, sounds fine there.
But sure.
I just wanted you to experience something different. I didn't know when I hit the 5 if I'd always loved that or if I needed. So I mean, frankly, Mark, I tried every one I could.
Right.
I tried them with the raised 5. I tried them with the flat 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, try it now going from 2 to the flat 5, but with the flat 9 also.
Right, it's all just experimentation.
And then you find a few that you just, man, I love this sound.
Right.
And you may not love it in all 4 places in a given density, so to speak.
That, I know, and that's something I try, and I'm doing it, I succeed certain percentage in that trying to make practicing certain things not boring or machine-like. Like, let's say the inversions.
Yep.
You know, I'm doing all the inversions, at least the voicings that you gave me in your old sheet, and changing the sounds. And I'm so used to these 6 sounds now, or 7 sounds. And, I'm sort of deliberately sort of keeping myself centered in these things just so I could just really hammer them in. But, you know, one of my things where, you know, how can I introduce these more into my musical well-being without having it sound so square? And I think it's just, you know, I have to sit down and understand the beauty of it and experiment with them.
If you're willing to sit one day and be systematic, find a place where you know that you already like the 2-chord sound. Mm-hmm. See how you like the basic 5.
Right.
See how you like the 5 with each possible... I mean, you have to start each time from the 2 and really listen.
Right.
But every discernible, knowable, making sense type of variation on a 5, which is probably between 10 and 15, given your background.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll know. Or you might say, you know what? Some other area where I still like the 2-chord, but don't love it as much as here. That has great 5 chords.
Right.
Everything I tried sounded good. This one, there are only a couple of them that jazz me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you learn it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not exactly a formula, but
no.
It is a method if you can make a difference.
Right,
and
right.
That's good. Steve?
Okay.
More questions. You'll show me something next time.
Yeah, doing... 1 diminished, 2 5.
That's what we just
basically.
Did. You might do. I'd like to see variations on that.
Okay.
That would be fine.
Okay.
I'd be happy if you'd be happy. You'd be learning that diminished thing stronger.
Yeah, I want to be
that
good
sound.
Friends with that sound, with diminished in general.
You know, the sharp one diminished sound more, which is really a 6th dominant. That.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that more in a certain sense and filed that bass line away.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that
this
was always just an
line.
A7 in the key of C. Yeah.
Right. Okay, and then I say, how can I introduce new sounds and versions into my playing? Exercise on progressions.
Like, well, that's what we were just talking
about. Right, sheets on progression.
No more sheets on this. You know what's cool? You're going to be writing your own sheet.
Right on. Yeah, I can dig that.
That is really, in a sense, what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you're... at the place where you're now capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next question on that?
Okay.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing? Hi.
It's the GB tonight, not the Paul Reed, right?
Oh, yeah. I got the new streets for you, too.
Bigger?
Yeah.
Sounds richer?
Harder to play.
Pretty soon, just relax, kick back, take a nap if you want.
Okay.
This cat has the most bitchin' joint dancing. Oh man, his wife got him for Christmas and it's so good. Yeah, that's what I said.
That's nice.
What a great
gift. Looking chick. Great chick, man. I like this.
Yeah.
Why is your hot axe for Christmas?
Yeah, that is really some kind of gift. Next question.
Yeah. Chord forms, okay? This is, and I'm trying to avoid confusion, chord, key, you know, root, bass line. How do you avoid the confusion? Meaning,
I've got it. Okay, go ahead. Say.
Meaning, okay, take like a 13 flat 9.
Yep.
Now, if I look at this, I say, ah, okay, 13 flat 9, well, that's a 7th in the bass, man, and that's how I tell. I mean, that's my first, I tested myself.
I used to do everything that way.
I don't think it's the right way.
But. I didn't like the results that I wasn't getting from
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted something where I could use everything fast.
Right.
And I started to notice after a while that I wasn't doing it that way, that when I was happiest, I was playing little phrases
mm-hmm.
of chords that sang in the top end more often than not.
Mm-hmm. Because
that's where we start with the stuff. So I switched over to the soprano, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Did I talk to you about that?
No, uh-uh.
Yeah, well...
A little bit, maybe, last week or last month.
I switched to the soprano, and I basically see chords from their visual root and the soprano,
mm-hmm.
both.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I leave the visual root out if I know it well enough and just see the soprano, which means the visual root's there, but it's way down deep below the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're seeing, for the umpteenth time, if you're seeing this 7 sharp, 9 sharp, 5 on G, then you're either seeing this G to place it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've done it enough times, you just go raise 9, raise 5, and you see the raise 9
mm-hmm.
on top.
Because mm-hmm.
you want that sound. It's not quite as intellectual as that, meaning I still just kind of grab for the sound.
Right.
But when I go slower, I think about it. Oh, yeah, I like that raise 9 on top, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of process.
Well, yeah, and I'm trying to, and also what I'm saying is in relationship to the key that you're in, I'm trying to, you know, I need to increase my sound vocabulary and also understand, I constantly see this reoccurring theme of the structure of the guitar of various chord forms that constantly creep up in my playing that are introduced itself under new sounds.
Let me see if I understand you. Because they all have so many names, that's one thing that throws you off.
Sometimes, sometimes. Huh? That, you know, there's a reliance for me sometimes to associate with a physical chord form more than the actual sound.
This is called danger.
Yes.
Unless you're letting yourself be free, which
mm-hmm.
is fun to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need a G7, you have to have lots and lots of color stored away for instant access.
Mm.
If you hear bottom on top, if you want that bum and you want a 13 flat 9 below it, you just have to see that soprano line.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see this, or from this root there's the flat 9 above that, or you might even see that one from this root, from the old 7 flat 9 you used to play for G7.
Okay, right.
Right in there. On your first guitar where the four string felt about like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, just like here, you know, the example is that I have, well, you know, a minor seven, A minor, 7 flat 5, could be C minor 6 or F 9.
I don't deal with all that anymore.
Okay.
I put it away. I pretend none of it exists.
Free yourself of it.
I just say, I need to know all that, but I act like none of it is the same as any other. For 99% of the time, that works great. For 1%, it's good to know that. Forget the 1 for now. In other words, learn minor 7 flat 5 chords.
As is.
From their own root. Pretend you never heard of 9th chords.
a different day, learn all those chords again is nice.
Okay.
It may take more than a day, but whatever, you know.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, God, yes. I had to separate all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I learned them again from visual roots and the soprano, not by the bass anymore. Okay. I found it's more helpful. Bass lines are easy on guitar in that there are only two strings we primarily use for the bass. Mm-hmm. But melody, we could have melody on at least four strings.
Right.
That's more to deal with, so we're better off covering it that way. And again, I want to stress, that's the way we hear chords, unless the bass line is floating quickly in a stationary, static texture upstairs.
Right.
This is going to make a difference. Holy shit. This is a real string after that little thing. Even it looks bigger than the...
It does.
That's the sound I needed out of that string. That's my fifth string. What a difference. It's like so puny. This one may get to stay. It was this string that was so hurting. Mm-hmm. I may have to tighten the neck up again.
Do you insure your guitars?
I'd like to, but I can't afford it.
What expensive.
If God takes them, man, I'm going to be sad, but I'll just have to live with it.
Move on.
Sure hope not. Point we were making was
just free yourself from all those associations and think in
now,
terms of
pretend there's no overlap, just learn each one separate.
Should I grab, like, okay, let's say, you know, grab this? I could say, well,
you don't want to be grabbing it unless there's a reason, because your time is precious. Unless you're doing free improv, in which case, don't think too much, just react, just go with texture. Just say, well, I want this shape to go to that shape.
Okay.
Don't even think. Just see pictures when you do that.
That's how I should think.
But if you're doing studies, then you don't be grabbing anything. You say, what's my project? What am I working on?
Right. You're more meticulous.
Say it's going 1-4-7, which would be a half diminished chord very often, so we'd be calling it a B-7.5.
Right, right.
We wouldn't have a need to call it G9
right?
But if you're doing blues and G, and you say, just today's my day work on my ninth chords, especially those without the roots, especially on higher sets. So, for that moment, all you do is have roots, you know, on G.
Right, just associate it.
You play it.
Right.
And you can hear it as that.
Right on, okay.
When you study each thing, there on that old paper, it showed you what are the primal ones to study. Remember there was a list?
Old paper.
Small density and medium
density. Yeah, that's what I use.
Yeah, and it has major 7, and go through major 9s without roots.
Just
if you do all those, you're in a pretty honey pie or category of understanding a guitar.
Okay.
Not many guys will be knowing more about the instrument than you if you do that.
Well, the question is you know, I mean, that's going to help, and that's going to sound, that's going to...
It's
undoubtedly.
Yeah, it's not a competition. I'm just saying in a relative sense.
Right.
You should feel real good. If you do that work, and I hope it's not if, but
when
I hope
right.
I can substitute when.
I've been working on it for 15 years.
Yeah, but I mean really getting down the trenches and saying, my next project is Zongo.
Right.
You know, like say it's dominant nines, medium and small density. You know, saying, I'm going to take one key at a time until I've got it.
Right on, yeah.
You see, I'm going to cross the strings. I'm going to I showed some exercises on there.
I do stuff like that. That's what. This is how I practice it. This is how I practice it. I wake up every morning and I'll do the 7 basic qualities, okay? And then I take each quality in each density, okay? And then do that in each density, you know? Okay, then the question I also had, should I do I could think of a million variations I could start doing, but I could
say think of a million variations
like yourself. Okay, start taking these densities, let's say, you know, this density, right, you know, and say, well, okay, well, now I want a two, you know, I'm going to do 2-5-1s in this density only. Okay, now some of it doesn't sound
I wouldn't do that until See, you're going to run out of time if you do everything in all keys and all densities. But do this. When you've got plenty of chords, first of all, concentrate on small density.
Okay.
It's much more important for you right now.
Right.
Because you can use it for solo playing and for ensemble, both. And you're going to be doing both. The second most important would be the medium ones, because they're great for unaccompanied. And they do work ensemble, too, if you play them quieter with the edge of the pick. Or if you leave the top note off, you have those comfort voicings then. Like if this is G7,
would you
just leave that off, then you have...
Now, do you use medium densities when you want to create a bass line more? Does it have a tendency to...
I do, because it's not as cloudy, because you don't get two notes together.
Okay.
The large ones are for specialized usage for now. They're beautiful, but you won't need... The operative term is need. You won't need them as much.
Yeah, they have a great sit, like a higher up, you know, higher.
Especially
sound
cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there are some great ones in there. But Mark, the thing is, why don't you try applying the stuff to tunes right away when you feel like you've got a lot of vocabulary in, say, medium density.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing every 2-5-1 variation,
right.
Do one or two little studies just to see.
Sure.
And weed out which areas of general interest sound like what. Like I made a choice years ago, ooh, this stuff sounds Baroque, ooh, this stuff sounds more like Joe Pass, this one don't sound too good at all for what I love, this one sounds great but it's hard to finger, so I better put it on a second run of priority. Then that only left two out of the four.
Right.
One of them didn't sound as good, one was harder to finger. I said, ooh, Joe Pass, JS.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
that
exactly.
It then I didn't have to do millions of other variations right away. I knew, wow, this area wasn't quite as cool from doing one or two variations. I got a feeling for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went back and did them anyway just to check.
Sure.
You can make some quick generalizations that can serve you well on an interim basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the question, like I have.
But you won't apply it to tunes when you can.
You know, organizing your practice schedules, okay. How do you organize your practice, like we were discussing right here?
First, you want to break it up into thinking about your goals. If somebody said, you could save the planet forever and then come back and do it all over again. And you'd have that cool thing of anytime you chose to remember anything from any life you could, but if you chose not to, I mean, all the bonuses. And you get to see a world at peace. And all women would give it up at
Nirvana.
Age any way you wanted. You'd be able to do drugs if you wanted.
Nirvana.
Music would sound three times as good. All you'd have to do was die for the name of all this in a year. Because your body was the only one that could fire a certain chromosome.
Right,
they needed your body to test for this new cure for AIDS, man. You said, I'd do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually think I would do it, too, if somebody gave me that choice, where I believed him.
Yeah.
Who would know all that to believe? This guy who disappears. He comes in your pad and gives you the options, and he just is gone.
Right.
You say, wow, this guy might be the one who knows what he's talking about. He can disappear on sight. Anyway, if that happened, Mark, and you said, well, I got a year left to enjoy music, and I just want to get down and get a few things happening.
Mm-hmm.
What do I love? Well, you'd say, I still love solo guitar, and I love ensemble playing too.
Right.
But for now, you've chosen to focus on solo more. You'd save your jamming, your ensemble, not for Stella by Starlight in all keys. You want to have more time. So you'd say, let's jam on easier stuff. Songs of easier nature. You did tell me you want to focus on the solo guitar.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
more
I play.
Focus just means the main ingredient.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I feel that if I study solo, I'll be a better ensemble player. Much.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if I play ensembles, but I play 99% of the time, I'm by myself, kid.
So I understand. So if you focus on solo guitar, that limits your horizons in a wonderful way.
Right.
You don't have to work on... For instance, your single string is much. It's not a priority anymore.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful option.
Sure.
You don't have to work on the Wes octaves as much. You can do them, but you won't be doing them as often as if you were a strong ensemble player. Every night, on almost every head, you'd want to state it in octaves somewhere in the tune. So you can lower that down in priority.
Right, exactly.
Maybe once a month you do. I've been doing that kind of stuff about once a month. I'll, like last night I had a bonzo night where I just said I'm going to do single line and octaves all night
and
just for fun.
But is it and will that be retained?
That's an important point. I had to write down some ideas. I was afraid I'd lose it.
Right.
Now it's a question of will I get to the another one of 1,000 sheets that I've written down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I hope so. And if I do it enough, I know I've retained the things that I've retained up to now. He said, like, what color is an orange? That works.
Right.
I've retained what I retain, not just water. So then you say, how'd that happen? I must have gone back over stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just have to go over. You just try to go over the things you love the most. So single line and octaves come down. Bass and fullness jumps up,
in
priority. Versus ensemble, with a bass player, it's zero priority, virtually. So suddenly you go, wow, man, how do I sound full?
Yeah, it's getting more focused.
Then you also say, do I even need these little chords so much? If like V2 up here, if I'm going to play by myself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a debatable thing. It's a good thing to consider, because you could say, well, I don't really, but we need to fill in all those dead spots in songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that that size of chord, that V2 size, is the most mobile size we have of chord for four part.
Okay.
So, talk about an old string. That string is from the mid to early 60s. I've saved them from when I first went to work for Ernie Ball. He already had this was his normal pack. I went to work for him in 65, and he probably had these packs for a few years.
Wow.
I don't even know if it'll work. I mean, we'll find out. Occasionally I do that. So, Mark...
Can I read you? I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I do. And just prioritize and make some decisions.
That's right.
And these decisions aren't bonded for lifetime. It's a study. Let's say, hey...
But they should be geared to make you happy.
Right.
Don't even worry about what's important other than that.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I want to enjoy my music.
Right.
What is it that would please me the most?
Exactly. Can I give you another example?
Yes.
Okay, let's say your solo books. Here's an example. Okay, I know we might be running.
That's all right. I'm checking the clock because I want to be fair to him. But we got a little time.
Several years to study those two books, beginning to end.
I wouldn't do it if I were you.
No, okay, dig. Several years. I mean, I could see that. You know, I could see that. And I know one day at a time. But eager to introduce sounds to my ears, right? So.
Shifters.
Yeah. So should I assign myself sequential lessons, let's say in any method?
Maybe one per month, and then feed it up sooner, two per month. Just do it slowly. Those books have too much information to absorb all at once.
But my point is, should I assign myself sequential lessons and not introduce myself to those beautiful sounds in the back of the book, and wait several years, or in time to get there, or should I plot along and have assignments maybe in two different, you know, how do you
judge? I would make assignments at first, but I would treat that book like candy.
Okay.
Say, I want to sample the wares on each page.
Mm-hmm.
Go through date to keep a record to see in case you miss the time.
Right.
Date in one corner of the page when you hit the book, and if you finish the page or if you got a third of the way through, you could code it.
Right.
And get through browse through every single thing in the book, and then color code as you go things that just call your name.
Because I could read. I could read pretty, you know, I could whip through on a Friday night, you know, that's when I usually pull the solo books out and the tunes, you know, whip through 30 pages or whatever.
Wow, that's good, Mark. That is good reading. Excuse me, I'm going to walk this way.
Yeah.
So when you do that, if you color code, see, you can go back through a book like that, and it'll end up being so much smaller.
Uh-huh.
It's not even the same book anymore.
Right.
It's like a 30-page book because of what you've limited. You've got favorite sounds throughout the book to just focus on.
I already and favorite positions.
Favorite positions too. Yes.
Boy.
Better to know one position well.
Well, I like all. I do. I must admit, I purposely skimp on 4 and 5 or 5 and 6.
Goodness, Jesus.